The Undying Chat.
Welcome back to The Undying Chat. I'm your host, Odin, and this is my co-host, Vader.
Hello, I'm Papa Vader.
Yeah, you're Papa Vader.
That's me. We are back once again.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today, Odin?
Everything.
Everything and anything.
Yes.
So, what's the weather been like? I'm just joking.
Don't cloudy, rainy.
With a chance of meatballs.
Yes, precisely.
I don't know, what's been happening? We've kind of just been, since last recording, we've just been, it's like...
Elden Ring, and a little bit of Elden Ring.
With a little bit of Elden Ring on top.
Yeah, and a side of Elden Ring.
Yeah, we've been keeping busy. Our family's in isolation now because we've had cases in the family of the old Arona. So we have a bit more time, I guess, because we can't go anywhere. So we've definitely been diving into some Elden Ring.
COVID's basically just going to be the new flu now, I reckon.
Yeah,
it's what
wow.
It's turning into. Yeah. Less deadly, but more.
Once this main wave's spread. Gone in New Zealand, I think that's basically what...
It'll just be the flu, basically.
Yeah.
Flu 2.0.
2.0.
Yeah.
But other than that, we haven't really delved into much other media. I don't think we've watched any... We started watching Lost in Space, a TV show, which is...
Yeah.
About people lost in space.
Which I watched like the first couple episodes when I was a lot younger, but at the time I don't think it was as appropriate. But it's not like...
It's on kids' Netflix though.
Is it? I thought it got removed and I thought it was like a... It wasn't supposed to be like that.
No, that's not there for
a bit of blood, yeah. I watched like the first few episodes when I was like 8 or something.
But yeah, we're watching that as a family. It's alright. I like the robot's costume.
Yeah.
Then, but other than that, we've just been waiting. We're waiting for Rise of the Shield Hero. Season 2's out in April, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I don't think you watched that one. I think you'd like it.
Is that the one where the dude just...
Has a shield?
Yeah, but is that... He just, like, kills a bunch of low-level enemies? Or is that something else?
And he yes,
becomes,
I believe
like, super
so.
Powerful, but he's still, like, a shield bearer?
Yep, I believe so.
Okay.
I think you might watch some with me, then.
I think I've watched, like, a tiny little bit, but you've also told me about it.
Yeah, no, there's some dark themes it deals with, but at the same time, it's still a very similar tropes. That seems to be quite popular in anime at the moment, where people from our world get pulled into fantasy world.
Yeah. There are multiple cases that we've watched. Fantasy getting pulled into real, or real getting pulled into fantasy? Did you say?
Our world getting pulled into a fantasy world.
Yeah. There's that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Yeah, ReZero. There's hundreds of them now. I can't.
Itamakun, the demon school.
Yeah, I guess that is. That's slightly different.
I suppose.
But it's the same kind of principle. Yeah.
Pretty,
That's true. It's a big trope that's kind of going through the anime and manga scene at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's probably been around for a while, but it seems to be very prevalent at the moment. Every second anime seems to have that.
Mm.
But other than that, I'm watching, I think, one called Orient. It's an anime. It's kind of really silly and over the top, but also fun. It's based in a alternative universe to, like, feudal Japan, where they have, like, motorbikes.
What?
That are powered by crystals. And like
so magical.
But they call them bushi, the samurai, which I think is what actually warrior is in Japanese, I believe. Because bushido is the way of the warrior, so... Samurai is a term that came on later in Japan's warrior history. And actually just, I think it means to serve, but it became to be the honorable or the higher up class. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But it's set in this world where the main guy is training to become a miner and they worship Oni.
A miner?
Yeah, he's mining. But they're like the higher class and he's friends with a son of a bushi. the warrior, and they have to wear their swords, but everyone mocks them. And he just seems like a normal samurai type dude or ronin, but they're not allowed to fight, but they have to, and they have to wear chains around them so that, to slow them down. And everyone mocks them, hates them, and the main guy, he's always going, he's gets all the honors and stuff because he's training through his school to be a miner, and he's got a real fancy pickaxe.
How do you train to be a miner?
Well, it's because the mining stuff for the Oni, they're worshipping these Oni, and so they're in the city that's revolved around hating Bushi and honoring Oni. And then basically first episode or second episode, he gets to go through, his class graduates. And basically, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's that the higher ups in this town basically were sacrificing these dudes to Oni and making them slaves so they can keep their civilization, their town safe. And so basically, they get worshipped or respected by the people, and like, oh, you're sacrificing and you've been great for the people, go work hard. And they go through this gate, and on the inside, the people who've gone before them are just slaves, and they get eaten whenever the Oni feel like it. And so you don't have a long life in there. So it's fake, because the people of this town just want to keep themselves safe, so they're sacrificing people to go work for the Oni.
But then
the guy's like, he wants to be a Bushi because his friend's dad was a Bushi, so he starts fighting the Oni with his pickaxe. And then his friend comes in with his motorbike, gets powered by crystals, and then like a whole gang of Bushi turn up from the outside world.
Motorbike gang?
I think there's a flying castle at some point.
It would have been hilarious if it was a samurai motorbike gang.
They don't have motorbikes, but they can fly with the power of their swords. So it's...
do they use it like a witch broom or something?
No. I don't know. And they use like laser beam powers.
That sounds ridiculous.
From their swords. So it got really ridiculous quickly, and I thought it was going to be more about how like there's this fake hierarchy in civilization, like the corrupt people are just lying to the citizens so they can have power and be safe by sacrificing people. And I thought it was going to be more around that, but instantly they basically left it. They killed all the Oni there, these visiting Bushi. Which they would have done that anyway, even if the main guy didn't bust into there. He only went in because he wants to fight the Oni. And so they leave the town, and there's just nothing more about it. Now they're in the wildlands, which he was taught growing up was you couldn't go out there, but he's out there, and there's thousands of Bushi fighting Oni everywhere. And it's real strange that like there's this. It starts off with this real isolated community, and it felt like it was going to stay that way, but it really didn't.
I know this isn't the point at all, but how do you train to be a miner? You're like, you see this rock, you slap it with a pickaxe, and you get or.
Yeah, well, they went to a whole school, and they were respected, and they had, fancy clothes, and they were given more than everyone else. So, like, it was like an honorary class kind of thing.
The school of mining, how to slap rock.
Oh, shush. You know what I mean.
I know, but like.
it was just weird. I think it's called Orient, and it's such a weird show. But it's also kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then I'm finishing off Attack on Titans, and boy is that... Finally, out of like the last 30, 40 episodes, there was a really good episode just this last time. It was like, okay, that was really cool. And it's finally coming back to making sense, because it just made no sense for a long time.
I remember seeing like somewhere it was like this video, and it had all the different types of Titans and their sizes and stuff. And some of them were just huge.
Yeah.
And they're just muscles.
There's the colossal, yeah. There's some that don't have skin, and then there's ones that are small but agile, and there's ones that... Yeah, it's...
The big ones are ridiculous.
There's huge. The Colossus. It's like the size of a city. And then the Beast one. Anyway, Iron one. And there's the Founding Titan. It's just... It's got really complicated, and it's all geopolitical and a little bit not where I thought this story was going to go. I just kind of want to finish it.
Be a Titan in Call of Duty. A Titan with a gun in Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, they've got the Warzone. They've got a Titan.
Yeah.
But it's not. There's not Titans in it, is it? It's just you can be dressed up as...
Yeah, you can just look like
the scouts from the soldiers.
Yeah. You as a Titan. With a rocket launcher.
Yeah. When I saw that, I thought, oh, that could be cool. They could They have made a game where you can zip around, I think, as the Titan Slayer dudes, the Scouts. Mm. But I haven't really seen much about it. But that's other entertainment. We are going to talk a little bit about Elden Ring, I think.
Just a little bit.
So we had maybe played over the weekend, I think, last time we recorded. So we only had maybe a few hours into it.
Yeah, we were only like a day or two, so about like 20 hours.
We did play a lot that first weekend. But now you're... We shouldn't admit how long we've been playing, should we?
I've got about, like, what, 50 hours?
50, you're about 56, 57?
Yeah, I've got about 57, and because you've been playing more and you kind of just leave your game on...
Yeah, it's on right now,
you've
actually
got, like, 70 hours into the game.
I think it's actually 78.
78, yeah.
I don't know how I managed to get 20 hours more than you, but I am. I've done a lot more exploring, and just the depth of this world. Like, there is a lot of open running around, but there's just so much hidden. Like, I've gone back to, I found something hidden in an area I've spent lots of time in just recently. Like, I think it's the second area, the lake area. And I was just looking at the map, and I always like games. Like, I've always liked games where they have a map that's useful and knowing where you are and where you want to go. But also where you can look at it and go, that looks interesting. And it's not just a marker on the map, like Assassin's Creed, where it's like, here's a collectible.
It's a mystery.
This, like, there are little nuances to this map. Like, it took me maybe 30 hours, but then I realized that you can see a lot of the mines, because different types of dungeons, and the mines...
Yeah, it's got like a yellow ring, isn't it?
Well, it actually looks like the Dark Souls. Dark sign from Dark Souls.
Like,
it's a black circle with a missing orangey red aura around the black hole. The black hole's obviously the cave entrance.
Yeah.
And it's the fire light coming from the mine. But you can actually see those on the map once you've found an actual copy of the map.
Because, there's like different types of mines. There's like the catacombs.
Well, dungeons. So you got the,
dungeons.
You've got normal caves. You've got the mines, you've got catacombs.
And I think most of them have different ways to find them. Like, the mines have, you got...
You can see them on the map.
Yeah, on the... And then also...
But you have to look, though. It's not like it's, like, glaringly obvious, big marker.
Yeah.
It's, you've got to be studying the map. It's a very old-style, hand-drawn map. Like, one you would see from, like, medieval England.
Yeah.
Lots of detail, but... hand drawn, so that it's pretty good to scale, I guess, but it's not like it's meant to be like a modern map that's like exactly accurate.
But also then you've got the catacombs, like the more man-made ones,
yes,
which you can see by a weird old dude pointing at it.
Yeah, you can. Well, it's like a obvious marker. Well, it's not that obvious, but you can see it at a distance, maybe a marker, which is a statue, and you can go click on it, and it points.
Yeah. But you can't like actually see it on the map, though. No. You can't see the dudes on the map, or the mines.
When you activate them, they do appear on the map.
Yeah, but apart from that, you can't.
And there's a blue line on the map that points the direction, and then you follow like the blue aura flame, guides you in the direction, you can head down and find where the dungeon is. Like, I've got one still that I haven't found the entrance to. I know roughly where it is.
Is that the one with the big boss dude on the sand area?
Beach? it's above that.
It's above it.
And I looked, I thought it was down on the beach, but it isn't. I thought it'd be on the ground level, but it must be halfway up the cliff. And I have jumped down some of the way on the cliff.
Either it's halfway up the cliff or you just haven't seen it on the cliff at the top.
Well, I got halfway down the cliff and there's a big enemy there that one-shotted me. And I tried to go back down and kept falling and dying and I gave up.
If you go back down, you'll probably find it.
Yeah, so I think it might be on the cliff side. I think I roughly know where it... Anyway, so there's a lot... And I've gone back to places and found things after I thought I'd... So what I was trying to get at, the depth, I read an article today about talking about this open world. It's massive, but it's nowhere near as big as something like Assassin's Creed, Odyssey or even Valhalla, probably. It's nowhere near as big as Red Dead Redemption or Hyrule.
A lot of games, like.
But it, and they talked about how what it tricks you is a scale. And I'm going to pass my controller so I can kind of move my map around to kind of help me remember stuff. Yep. And I'm not trying to spoil, we don't want to spoil much about the game because people may get it and play it. But like, you start off and you don't have a map.
No.
But you have this massive view. The game's themed around like an eternal tree, like some source of power. I don't really know what the deal is. So I'm not spoiling anything. Mm. It's called the Erd Tree.
Yeah, Erd Tree.
And you can see it, and it looks big, and then you don't realize how big until you've galloped for like 10 minutes, and you realize that you're still nowhere near it. And we're
like, dang.
I'm 80 hours in, and I'm still not near it.
I'm a bit closer to it.
But it's massive. Yeah. And so you get the sense of scale right from the beginning. Like, this is a huge world. And then you have to find the map. You go find the map, and then you can actually see, you start uncovering fog on the map. And you can start seeing landmass on the map, and maybe roads is what you can see as you run around. Then you find an actual map which populates it with that hand-drawn styled map. I really want a picture of this to be on the wall. I kind of wish they gave us one.
I'm just kind of curious, because look, we've like,
yeah, there's still more to go.
Is there like a sky city or something?
Well, that's the thing. Like,
it looks like it ends like there. But the map goes up. Endless,
but that's what I was getting at. And the game is covered. The map's covered in fog when you go into it until you've run through the area, and then you find, and you can see the land shape, like the actual island shape or whatever. Then you find a map, and then it gets populated, but it still doesn't let you zoom out that far until you've actually gone further up north.
Yeah.
And so you don't actually realize how big it is, and so you already think it's a big spot, and then you can go further, and so it tricks you into this massive feeling of discovery, and I love that. Like, it's phenomenal how it's done. And so now we've gone up, and the first area, it felt huge when we played, right?
Yeah.
The second area is the same size as the first two area, like the first area,
and then the kind of like the third, fourth area that we're not really supposed to be going to yet.
Even though it's right by the start. Yeah, it's cool. And then we've opened up, like, it just keeps going. And I think another good trick they did is that to get through to the main second area, which is a lake area, you got to go through a castle. And the map, all you can see is this thin peninsula-looking landmass.
Mm.
And so you're thinking, it's not going to be that big. And then it opens up to another massive landmass. And so it gives you that kind of, whoa, this is actually huge.
Yeah.
And so it tricks you into it, like, in a good way, though. It tricks you in a good way. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the map, and when I was just what I was getting at, the detail. You'll be exploring, there's enemies to fight, bosses to encounter in the open world. But, like we're talking about, there's just depth. You can go dive into little caves. Some are teeny, some are massive.
Oh, yeah, some of the ones you found, like, huge.
Well, you did the Sage's Caves just before. That was quite a big one. And there was like six hidden walls in there. And
there was a whole hidden
box. And there was just treasure chests anywhere. And it felt like, oh, we've found like a smuggler's den or something. That's what it felt like. We felt like that they had found, like we'd found someone's treasure hoard. And it was because I think it was 8 treasure chests in there.
Yes, although a lot of them didn't have the best of loot.
But still,
I found some cool, like,
it felt like we found this, yeah, like this person's possessions, and to them, that's their worldly possession.
Oh, you stole them.
Yeah, that's true. That may sound bad. But you know what I mean, though?
That's like a 1/20th of our stuff. Less than that. And
yeah.
That was their whole life savings, and we just stole it.
And I was actually, before us, earlier today, I was thinking, actually, I'll probably to tell a little bit too much about myself. I think it was when I was pooping.
You don't need to say that, though. You could say what I was thinking.
But I was thinking about this. Like, you play... Because I'm at the point where I've still got 6 different paths I could take. Like, different... And it's not like a linear path. Those are, like, different like places I can explore right now. Mm. Dungeons, castles, underground locations I can follow. And I'm like, I'm still using the weapon I started with.
And the armor. You still got the samurai armor on.
Yeah, no, I am just not interested in
changing my armor. You need to switch the armor and ditch the katanas.
No, I've gone to dual blading katanas now. Are you getting me off topic? I'll come back to we'll come back to our weapons and spells soon. But I was thinking about it, like the replayability in this. I don't really like replaying games that often. Odin?
Yeah. It takes me a while to replay a game.
Generally, most games, you start, you get better gear, you finish the game.
Yeah.
But everybody who plays that game has that gear.
Yeah.
And I know, like, even I'm not too versed in Skyrim. I know you can do lots of mods, but if you're just playing that game, you could do a more of a spell build, or you could do more of
a warrior build. Or you could do more of a cheese build where you just break the game completely. Well, but, you know.
Well, but it still feels like you're going to use a sword. There's the best sword in the game. There are hundreds of weapons, it feels.
Mm. Like, I've got two stuffs. One is it increases how strong a spell is, and the other increases how fast I can use the spell. So they're both pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But one, and people would have their different preferences. Like, I just want stronger spells, or some people might just want faster spells.
Yeah. And so there's so much variability. As I said, I'm still playing with the katana that I started with.
Because you're a samurai.
I could start this game again, and it could be a completely different experience if you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
By just choosing a different weapon. And that's the pooping realization I had.
You still don't need to say that.
Is that, like, because of the variability, there is just so much freedom in this game, more so than I think other games do. Even if they're open world, like even Hyrule, I really like. I'm not a big open world game player. I don't like them that much. I tend to get a little bored. But I get, well, Hyrule.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
You use sword, you use shield. That is it, basically.
That's it, yeah. And it's still, that was actually a great open world. Yeah. Ghost of Tsushima, another example. It was a great open world, and I've actually replayed that because I love the game and setting so much.
I tried to replay it from the straight beginning, but I failed.
I rushed through mostly to get the trophy.
Yeah.
But, again, everyone who plays that will end up with the same gear.
Mm.
And I know everyone who plays this will end up with the same gear, but there's so much more options. I don't know, with Ghost of Tsushima, there are slight different builds, but you've got three or four options, really. Whereas this, you have...
Yeah. The possibilities, man. Like, there are ones where they take away your health but increase your intelligence or something. And it's like...
Yeah, well, go through what you're... Without... I don't think you've got anything that's too spoilerish.
Not really.
You going to load up your game?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about, like, my character, I start as a samurai because I love my samurai.
And you're still a samurai.
Yeah.
Because samurai.
I was looking at switching weapons, but I decided... game does really cool compared to the previous Souls games... It is a little bit more accessible in the builds. Previously, you would have to commit more so. And on subsequent plays, you would then aim for the weapon that you wanted, and then you would focus on that. And if that was changing a weapon, then you would go for it and then try something different. And this, you can actually customize the elemental effect, the magic effect, all by switching out what's called an Ash of War, which is a special ability.
Yeah.
They did this with Dark Souls 3, Sword Arts, I think they called them.
Mm.
And Sekiro did it. You got the different abilities you could equip with Sekiro.
I still haven't played much of Sekiro.
No, I know you didn't. But
I got chopped off by a really hard enemy.
Yeah, it is a hard game. So this has done that. And so what I've done is I've taken my katana and I've switched out my main one as Holy. And I have the sweet, like, light beam arc that I shoot at people.
Yeah.
And then that lets, and also bust my sword with a holy blade for about 20 seconds.
That's your right hand, isn't it?
Yep. And then my left hand katana, I've done it as an ice, and I dual wield at times. It makes my defense pretty bad because the attacks are quick, but also there's a bit of a delay between getting back, so I get hit a lot. But I can do chunk damage with bleed with my katanas, and the ice does a chunk damage, I believe.
Yeah.
Once it builds up, they take a chunk of health next time you hit them, I think it is. and the ice stomp.
You love the ice stomp, man.
I've actually used it more than fighting at times now.
It's like ice stomp.
Yeah. And then other than that, I'm doing a faith build. I don't really use the magic, but I have a few things equipped.
Oh, some of the faith things aren't even faith things. Like, it's like a dragon.
You've got to have faith in the dragons, man.
I know.
Do you even believe?
But some of the... I know, like, I think with Dark Souls 1, there was like a completely different pyromancy thing. And that was just incantations.
Yeah, they had pyromancy, faith, and then sorcery in Dark Souls.
Now it's just sorcery and incantations.
Basically. And there's different branches of those.
Yeah, I was annoyed. I'd be like, oh, this is a really cool like fire spell. And it's actually sorcery. Oh, but you need 20 faith. I'm like, I only have 7 because I don't care about faith.
Yep. I think this game's level cap is designed to be higher because we're still coming across things that one-shot us.
I got a spell that needs 70 in intelligence.
Oh, you got one that needs 70?
Yeah, I thought it was 60. I'm pretty sure I've got
the
one
that I found and told you where it is. It was
the
60.
Moon.
Oh, 70. The moon. It is 70.
That's a boss spell and it's just
the crazy thing
is
that... it's hard to say. That seems like the second main boss. Yes, you would have should have fought 20 other bosses by then.
It's the second, like, arc boss kind of thing. Like, yes. Arc demon kind
Your
of thing.
Story... Well, she's not actually one of the main 5 you're after.
No, I thought she was.
She's related to them by marriage. But she's completely skippable.
Well, yeah, I know she's skippable, but she's still one of them, I suppose.
No.
Really?
She's not. It's not a her rune's not an Elden one of the runes of the Elden Ring. So basically the premise is we're in the land between and the deity power, the Elden Ring, was shattered and the runes or the power of it was split between 5 demigods.
We've got 2 of them so far, don't we?
No, just the one.
I thought
Oh no, 2, yes, we did Radahn as well.
But I think he's still skippable though.
No, really? You'll have to go back to him because it'll have to trigger. Whereas,
yeah,
I was getting a little bit of spoiler, but there's a sorcery boss in a sorcery academy. But you can completely go to the next area, and as far as I'm aware, you do not have to fight.
Yeah, you don't have to fight her, but it's kind of just useful, especially if you're trying to do sorcery.
You're leveling up. It also unlocks ability to respec your character.
Yes.
So it's definitely worth doing it. Oh, that's what I should tell people. I just started using a new shield. It's called the Great Turtle Shell. And when you two-hand your sword and you have it in your left hand, you look like a Ninja Turtle.
You are a Ninja Turtle, man. But also, especially with the katana, don't the Ninja Turtles use something like a
katana? Yeah, I'm Leonardo, man.
You are.
I'm Leonardo.
Yeah, I know. I don't really remember the names, but isn't it like a really smart one?
Donatello's the smart one.
Yeah, I'm the smart one. You're the one that.
Oh, you're using a staff.
And you're the one you're that eats pizza all the time. I know they all eat pizza, but
that's Michelangelo's the pizza. Cowabunga, dude, he uses nunchucks.
That's you. I still.
No, I'm Leonardo. I'm the leader. I'm the boss.
Yeah, I suppose.
That was my Ninja Turtle pillow from when we had matching pillows.
Mum had purple, I think.
Yeah,
she was
Donatello.
Did I have blue or did I have, like...
I was blue, you were red, Aria was orange.
Yeah. Is red the one, the smart one?
Red's the aggressive one.
The aggressive one, right.
I'm simplifying the Ninja Turtles, there's a bit more to
I
than that.
I don't remember
you got
the
leader,
Ninja Turtles.
Leonardo.
Which, what color is
here? Raphael is red, he's kind of the hothead.
Oh, yeah.
Donatello's the smart one, uses a quarterstaff. And
well, you gotta tell me what the colours, man.
I did say purple.
Okay, so the smart one's purple. Okay.
And then orange is Michelangelo. He's a little happy-go-lucky, cowabunga dudes! And he jumps into the action.
Okay.
Actually, that's a good segue. They're actually releasing a collection of like all the Ninja Turtle games on PlayStation soon. Like
Ninja Turtle games?
There's like 20 of them. I know, there's heaps.
I didn't even know there were Ninja Turtle games.
There haven't been any for a while. Oh, there was one a couple years ago. But these are all the retro ones. They're like pixel graphics and stuff.
I love pixel graphics. Especially farming pixel graphics.
Do not bring up Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley.
Do not do it.
I haven't played much Stardew Valley since last time because
so
I've been playing Elden Ring.
Tell us more about your character then, Odin.
Well, I have a big-ass crown. It is huge. It's like three times the size of my head.
It's really stupid.
but it increases my intelligence.
Just think of like a Viking drinking horn.
Shoved on a Viking's head.
Enlarged drastically.
And shoved on his head.
Decaled with gold, and then the tips curved over like a Santa's elf's hat.
And then shoved on someone's head.
Shoved on a Viking's head.
That's the definition.
It's ridiculous, but I think it boosts your magic.
Intelligence by 3. So I get 3 extra.
That's not worth it at all.
Really?
My golly gosh, you're doing that just for 3, I guess it's 3 levels.
Yeah. And also, I think that just straight up increases the power as well. Intelligence increases your power in spells, I think.
You have 23 poise? You got more poise than I do.
That's because I'm wearing this, you're wearing starting samurai stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
wearing, and it's pretty ghetto samurai stuff.
I'm wearing full-on knight armor.
But I altered it so I have a sweet straw cape.
Doesn't that make it weaker?
No.
Really?
Nope.
Does it make it stronger?
No, it doesn't change it at all.
I suppose it is just straw. Whenever I try to alter anything, it makes it weaker. Because it,
no
my
capes.
Astrologer's stuff, it'll take off like the like a cloak thing on top of it. So it decrease all the stats. Everything I've ever tried to alter has decreased the stats.
I don't know. I've never noticed that. Anyway, so tell us more about your character, other than your
silly
looking
hat. So I'm wearing some knight armor. It just looked really cool, and it's fancy, and it fits my crown, which I'm not getting rid of, no matter how bad it is. I didn't for most of the game. Most of the game, I was wearing using a falchion for my sword.
Okay.
Because falchions, demon souls, that's what I used. But then Dad told me it's a bad weapon, so I should switch it. So, I'm now using a magical katana.
Nice.
You still should be using something other than a katana.
I did. It's a magical, it's a holy katana.
That's still a katana. And it's, you should use something like a big old sword. It would be hilarious, you, a samurai rocking up in a big sword. Anyway, and then I'm using a magical shield, which looks dope. So I'm fully magical.
I've never been one who cares too much about fashion souls.
I love fashion souls.
Well, I get, no, maybe I do.
Yeah, you wear samurai armor, even though it's really weak.
It's not that weak.
It's weak.
I guess I do. Maybe I do care about fashion souls.
Yes, you do. You love being a samurai.
Yeah, I do.
And you love using a katana because it's a katana.
Yeah,
and you
I do.
Love wearing the samurai armor because it's samurai armor. You love fashion souls,
but
mate. Don't deny it.
You can dual-wield them and do the double hit.
You can dual-wield anything. You could dual-wield a giant butcher knife, mate. Like.
No.
Yeah, you could. It'd be awesome.
It's the way of the Bushido. But this game just looks beautiful.
You love fashion souls, don't deny it.
We've got the games open white right now so we can look at stuff as we discuss. And I'm overlooking this magical academy. One of the minor erd trees, like the like baby trees, even though they are just maybe the size of a skyscraper.
Yep. Pretty much. I mean, that tree reaches the height of the academy, which part of it is floating on a rock.
That's not going to mean anything to anybody listening.
I know. But it's a friggin' big academy, so it's a very big tree.
The trees are huge, and other little trees, and then the big tree
the big tree's like,
is so big that it's miles away, but the branches overhang where I am.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain how big it actually is.
It's huge.
It's crazy. But it just looks gorgeous, the art style, the depth. And I was thinking about it again when I was playing the other day.
While you were pooping?
Nope, I wasn't pooping this time.
Okay.
It kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier. That most open world games, sometimes they're big for the bragging right. We're bigger than last time. Look how far we can pee in the snow. Kind of attitude.
Hey, you know, kids can pee their name in the snow, but Chuck Norris can pee his name into concrete.
Thanks for the Chuck Norris joke there.
I know. That just reminded me I needed to say it.
But, what was I even... You just... Yeah. I don't even know.
You were talking about Chuck Norris peeing his name into concrete.
No, you're talking about Chuck Norris peeing in the concrete. Anyway. the size of the map gets bigger, but it doesn't mean that there's anything in between locations A and B. It's just more footsteps to run. Does that make, you know what I mean? Like, I found that with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It was huge. It was like the whole Mediterranean or whatever it was. But then you just spent half an hour running from place to place, and it was devoid of life or character.
Yeah, you'll see like a bunch of trees and a road, and there's literally nothing in between.
But what I've noticed with this, when I was climbing this mountain, like I wanted to get to a location, and I was like, wow, this open world section could be, some theme could be taken from almost any video game. It's the lava zone, which is a thing in like Mario. Like it's there's always a lava zone in most, in a lot of video games.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Like, but Breath of the Wild.
It's this, yeah, Breath of the Wild. But it was a labyrinth and a dungeon in its own right. Even though it was just open world map, it could have just been run this direction like other games in general. But it was actually felt like I was going through a dungeon because there were paths, there were ladders, there were enemies, there were barricades, and I was still having to explore it the same way you would in a level or an area in the original Dark Souls. Even though it is open world, it's still, the level design hasn't fallen off.
Yeah.
There's trips and traps along the way, and it's phenomenal. What else? Have you got any silly stories? Like, we've had some silly deaths, haven't we? Like, I died
sometimes
before.
Your horse glitches out. Like, you try to jump onto it, and you do something weird. So your guy's, like, sitting there in midair, and it's really annoying, because then you die, because...
Yeah, if you can't move for 30 seconds, your guy dies.
Yeah.
That's a very rare glitch, and it's usually when you're jumping on your horse.
It's happened like 4 times to me now.
Yeah, not for a while, though. I've noticed it happened to me early on. But it's when you're trying weird stuff, like you're getting on your horse in a tree.
Not even, or, sometimes.
You arguing with me? That's exactly when it happened to us.
I know, but like, I think sometimes it hasn't even. Yeah, I don't know.
It's definitely,
it happens at weird times.
What it is that you're glitching, you're hitting, it's not a glitch as such, you're hitting other geometry when you're jumping on the animation, jumping on the horse.
And it like, just
and it catches.
Breaks.
And yeah, and so a glitch happens, but it's not a glitch as such, something wrong with the game. It's more that you're getting on a horse and you just happen to be next to a branch or a crack in the ground.
That just doesn't like you. It doesn't like your hoarseness.
Well, yeah, then the
Did
horse
you just
can't...
try to do it?
Yeah, I was trying to force it to happen.
And it failed.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's not that common. Because you say 4 times, but like...
I've been playing
And how many times have you jumped on your horse?
1,000.
Thousands. And this is my new son, Elden Ring. And if you don't behave, it will take your place as Elder Son. It's the Elden Ring, Elden Sun.
Is it going to kidnap me?
I may kidnap you.
Oh my goodness, what?
But...
Am I already...
I don't want you to speak mean about to my new Elder Son.
This is hilarious. Aren't I already kidnapped? I'm in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just...
You shouldn't say things like that. Someone might get the wrong idea listening to this.
Okay. I'm already in your house. You could just, like, lock a door and I'm still kidnapped.
But yeah, what are the weird stories? Like, we talked about last time enemy design and how much variety there is.
We found more since.
I know.
We found like some weird creature with worms coming out of its face.
Oh yeah, and it was called Wormhead, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was so weird.
And another favorite of mine I just found today. And it seems kind of obvious. But I can't say I've ever thought of the concept of a snail snake.
Yeah.
But like how simple that idea is, but also how genius it is.
Mm.
So you have a snake with snail little, what are those little wiggly antenna things that they probe around in? You know, the snails, they poke out.
Antenna.
Yeah, but aren't they kind of the eyes or something in snails? Aren't they class as the snail's eyes?
I don't know.
Anyway,
what they actually are.
They have them, but it's a snake's mouth, a reptile skin with a perfect snail shell on the back and a snake tail coming out the... Did I say snail? Yeah, snail shell, snake tail.
Snake shell and snail tail. That's not actually what you said, but that'd be hilarious.
But like, I was just... thinking how cool that design is, but it's also a very simple design.
Yeah. No, my favourite one, I think, is either the random floating giant jellyfishes.
Oh, they're pretty cool.
Or the mimic one. You know, the mimic, they're like little blobs.
Yep, and it's a reference to Demon Souls, the phalanx.
Especially considering we've seen some of them carrying shields.
Yeah, they have shields now.
But then also, what they do is they'll either, one of them is like a boss and it changes into you.
Yep.
Which was quite interesting, not necessarily for me, because it couldn't even use magic.
Well, it could, but the problem is it goes with what your main weapons are.
Yeah. So, it didn't use magic for me, but it was still a fair fight for you. Mine was a bit less of a fair fight. But yeah. And then the other ones, they'll turn into random, naked, people that are blue with weapons.
Yeah, most of the mimic blobs stay as blobs, but yeah, the odd ones...
some of them turn into copies of random naked blue people with weapons.
They're not fully naked, they just don't have clothes.
Yeah, I know, but like...
they got undies on. You're making it sound rude.
As naked as you can get in Dark Souls.
I think it's Depraved. It's one of the starting classes you can start with nothing on. Depraved may have been from Dark Souls, but it's the same concept.
There's always like a class where you can just be the naked boy.
Yeah. I don't remember if we talked about it last time, about how this game definitely feels like a culmination of all the previous games since Demon's Souls.
Yeah. Runes, Bloodborne. I found a weapon that's
from Bloodborne. The combat is a little bit more Bloodborne-y. The Chalice Dungeons from Bloodborne, all the different dungeons, and we've started to notice that we're getting a little bit of repeat with some of the design. Like you said, oh, this is like Patch's dungeon cave.
And I've also found the same house multiple times, like 10 times by now.
Yeah. And so they have taken some shortcuts, which does take... I don't want to talk negative about it, but if we're being nitpicky, those are the things I'd point out.
Yeah.
Though
it's not terrible. Like it.
Here's a tip for people who are playing it. I knew about the...
Magic's overpowered.
What?
Magic is overpowered.
Oh yeah, magic is overpowered. Magic's
magic
super
is
powerful.
So powerful.
Seems to know about the markers you can put on, like the glow markers, when you push X in the map.
Yeah.
And you can then see it on the map. It's like a magical reference point. You can actually put square. I didn't notice until recently. You can put square and you can put stickers. A lot of open world games do this. And I've started doing it for dungeons where I've gone in and then found the boss too hard now, and so I need to go back.
Nope.
And because I was getting to the point, it was getting really hard to remember which dungeons I had put on hold.
Yeah,
and
there should be like a tick on something. That's just something that would be...
this gives you the freedom to do it yourself.
Yeah, I know.
And the type of
see it on the map and stuff. It's kind of...
Yeah. I think this is a good solution. The game's designed around you making decisions, you working it out. There's no... Yeah. No quest markers that the game gives you, really.
Oh, there's like one that...
You're just saying that now because you're literally being told to go kill someone.
Yeah,
but again, 50, 60 hours in and it's the first one, and it's not really a quest marker. It's saying, look, there's someone here, go kill them. One of the other NPCs were dealt with, they said, go find this wizard and here's a letter of introduction. She's in Nimgrave.
Doesn't even tell us where
the starting. He's like, she's in the starting area. We're like, what? We'd spent 20 hours in the starting area and we hadn't found her. And we just forgot about it.
That's just me not being able to go anywhere because I don't explore.
Yeah, no, but
and
I didn't
Dad
know.
Dad just being dumb.
Yeah, I explore everywhere. And yeah, then 60 hours in the game, I go back to Limgrave. So was it you or me that went back to Limgrave and found?
I found it. It was in...
Oh, yeah, it was you.
It was in a little broken down rune.
Right by the start of the game.
In a room, which is why you didn't see it, because you didn't notice it. It was in like a little room that you'd have to go in. And then it's just a staircase down.
Yeah.
And you just didn't see it.
And we both missed it.
I didn't go to the runes in general.
And it's
you went to the runes and just didn't see
it. We should have been able to find her. One of Odin's biggest complaints is like, oh, I'm only finding face stuff. I want to find sorcery.
That was the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and I said to him, it's powerful. You'll get more later. And he has. But he could have had a little bit more earlier if we had found this rune.
I had nothing back then. I had like two spells, and now I've got a full-on moon that I can chug at people.
Soon. But again, what were we just talking about? We got way off topic.
Talk about Chuck Norris.
No, we weren't.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's lots. What? So those, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Thanks for getting me off track. There's markers you can put on, and there's different or stickers, which lets you remember and help keep track of where you've been. So if you're playing and you've struggled to remember where you've died and where you can't handle, square on the PlayStation, which is, I don't know what that is. It's the left button on the buttons.
It'll be like X on the Xbox.
Xbox, no.
And then something on computer, because it's impossible to tell. And then something else on.
But look at the map. There actually is in the description, but I'm surprised I didn't really notice that. And I've heard of other people missing things like this in the menus, because there is a lot to take in this game. Have we talked about enough without spoiling anything?
You know what we're going to talk about now? Questions.
Oh, yeah, go for a question. Just give us a break from the banter chat.
Okay. Panda first appears as a selectable fighter in which game of the Tekken franchise?
Oh, I'm going to say Panda. It's not Tekken Tag.
Tekken Tag? What's Tekken? No.
Tekken 3 then.
Yeah, Tekken 3. No, you put your first answer as Tekken.
No, no, yeah, but Tekken Tag is it's
that
not
sounds like Chicken Tag.
No, it's kind of built in with 3, but it came out after 3. It's not one of the main series, but it built on 3 from memory. But yeah, there was a tag version, so you have two characters and switch it out. So I was close generation wise.
No, I think it's you run around the map trying to jab each other once and then.
No, you tag out like wrestling. You give your double. You got two fighters. A lot of the modern games do it, like Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah, like every fighting game I've ever played now has switching out. It's the new way to play. Okay, anyway, which webcam like peripheral was released in
peripheral
was released in 2003 for the PlayStation 2?
iToy.
You old guy. You're so old.
2003 wasn't even that long ago.
It's like
I was
19 years ago, mate.
Yeah, I know.
I was seven. I was -7 at that point.
I was already an adult by then. This is sad. I'd finished high school. Yeah.
50?
No, I'm not like 50. I was 19. It's hard. Well, I'm not quite 38 yet, but I'm 38 this year. So it's half my life ago. I am getting old. It's crazy.
Yeah, half your life ago. Not that long ago.
Well, that's the crazy
half
thing.
Half my life ago wasn't that long ago. Half your life was like 1,000 years.
You're like a spring chicken, though. Okay.
And you're some old dying rooster.
Rooster?
I don't know. Okay.
It's not it's not youth, it's experience that wins in the end. And you can quote me on that.
Okay. PT was a playable teaser for which cancelled video game?
Silent Hills.
How long ago was that?
Like 6, 7
years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so like half my year ago. Okay, that wasn't too long ago. What group from the Elite Dangerous community is renowned for saving players who are stranded in deep space without fuel?
I know very little about Elite Dangerous. I just know that they've stopped supporting the console version. I don't know.
The Fuel Rats!
Ah, well. I feel like you've asked me that question before.
Because you're so old, you got. How long ago is Tekken 3? I'm kind of just curious.
Like, should we Google it?
Yes.
Google time.
If it's longer than 12 years ago, then you're old.
Tell us for the time that you died really badly in Elden Ring while I start looking things up.
Well, I've died too many times. I really don't know.
It's really hard to tell.
I don't remember at all.
What's your favourite boss so far?
Like, how they fought? Or like the things I got from them?
Well, anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I got from them...
Or the fight itself.
What I got from them was obviously the queen, because I got magic and a staff from them. But then also, the king was kind of just annoying, I found. Like, the very first boss, like, main boss, was just annoying. But then the second one, I can't remember, like, General Radahn, I think it was. He was a cool fight. He was a bit annoying, but still pretty cool, and he looked very cool. Which, yeah. I think, that's the armor you should switch into. From the samurai armor.
So, yeah, General Radahn, he's one of the main targets. And yeah. He's one of the great runes like, that you're hunting after.
Banished, and he's also
We don't want to say too much about him, yeah. But even the lore behind him is really cool. Like, he's the demigod who holds the stars in place.
Oh, yeah, it was like, ridiculous.
Like, how cool is that?
How does he hold stars? He has magical hands in the stars.
Well, this is, like, heavily inspired by, like, some of our Norse mythology or other mythology. Like, but even, like, in Māori mythology, like in New Zealand, there's the stories and legends of Maui fishing up the North Island of New Zealand, and also about how the sun kept going down so quick, and so he caught the sun with a big giant net and told him to slow down.
Yeah.
And so we all have legends and stories in mythology and in culture like crazy stuff like this, and so it's just building off that concept.
I just want to... I've got both...
So anyway, before we forget, Tekken Tag was 1999, and Tekken 3 was 1996.
That was 1996... What?
1990... Oh, that's when it came out as an arcade. Ooh, should actually check when it came out as on...
Yeah.
PlayStation.
But right here, I've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla in it, and also that like a little thing from Elden Ring.
Yep.
And look at this. Which one's Elden Ring? Like, if you actually get into the game and you see the design of Assassin's Creed, it's very similar of just the design and type. Like, even the colours, like, man, that's like the exact same colour.
Yep. Well, it's very Norse-inspired, Elden Ring, and so obviously yeah. Valhalla is, and so there is elements and colouring from it's there.
Very interesting. As soon as I saw this, I was like, damn. This is Assassin's Creed Valhalla or Elden Ring?
So yeah, we're talking about General Radahn, but his fight's crazy. Like, he is so aggressive. And what's really cool is they kind of do this in a few of the old Souls games where you fight an enemy and they're like, oh, you did what? You kind of, that was awesome, you took him down. But this is him at his weakest. And then you're like, oh, like Dark Souls 1. I mean, not worrying about spoilers for that. The Lord of Cinders, Gwyn.
Is that like the last dude?
Last boss.
Oh.
He's a husk of his former self.
Yeah.
And, like, he still, like, is aggressive and full on. And he intimidates a lot of players because he's just so fast and aggressive.
One thing that I was thinking about, I just thought about another thing, but I'll talk about that in a second.
Lord of Cinders is actually the boss from Dark Souls 3. That's what he was called.
But I'm really curious about the end of the game. Like, is there going to be two options, like Dark Souls 1, where you could either become Elden Lord, or you could sacrifice yourself, which, if there's two options, no you're sacrificing yourself, I'm becoming the Elden Lord, because I am the Dark Lord, I'm also going to become the Elden Lord.
I'm expecting there may be more than two endings in this game.
Yeah, but you're going to take the one where you die.
Which I'm a bit nervous about, because this game's massive, though a lot of it is optional.
Mm. I'm going to become the Elden Lord.
A lot of this is for flavour and levelling, but I heard today that there's people who are already beating it in under an hour.
That's them literally ignoring 99% of the game.
That's what I mean. A lot of these bosses will be avoidable, and these players are great. Like, as I was going to mention earlier, General Radahn, it's on a big battlefield to fight. And he gets around, he moves, he's got long range.
He's on a tiny horse that's like
that's hilarious.
A third of his size.
Less than a third. It's his legs touch the ground. That's how big he is.
And his horse is just like, oh my goodness, I'm dying.
It's actually
It might already be dead. It could be a zombie horse.
He looks really badass and tough, but it's also very
it's on a horse.
Yeah, it's very comical. As well, it's a very funny.
You should still take his armor. I still think you should take his armor.
His armor is
cool. Armor's awesome.
I'm trying to think what it reminds me of. It's I can't actually put my finger on it, but it reminds me of something very specific.
Some kind of lion.
I'm thinking maybe like one of the orc lords or something from World of Warcraft. That's what I'm thinking. There's like a dude.
I've never played World of Warcraft.
Well, neither have I. But like, it's an image I've seen. But I'm not sure if it is that or not. Anyway, off topic.
One thing I was talking about with Dark Souls 1, and I was thought about it when we were talking about like Gwendolyn, the last boss. I instantly thought about like I was instantly thinking about a video that I saw ages ago of that you made, or at least there was something on your computer, and it was like this dude with like a Dark Knight armor. He had like some armor on, but then you played "I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World," and it was hilarious.
I can't remember the joke. It was a joke I did online with my Dark Souls friends.
Yeah, it was. So there was this dude fighting Gwen. Yeah. And I obviously I at the time I hadn't finished Dark Souls 1, so I didn't know what that was, but I just saw this dude in Dark Souls armor fighting this guy while singing Barbie Girl.
Well, that's the funny thing with like it's such a metal ending, like that last final boss, like the room's on fire, the dude's in like the character fighting is like in black metal armor, and the dude you're fighting's got like flowing hair and a fire sword and muscly old man.
So then I'm a Barbie girl. Hilarious. Honestly, if I ever play Dark Souls 1 again, which I probably will, when I go into the boss fight, I'm gonna grab my phone and I'm gonna play this very old, like, I'm a Barbie girl song while I'm fighting the boss.
If I told you this, when I played cricket, my team, we decided that we're gonna have like all the professionals started. It was around the time when they started having like walk-on music. It never used to be a thing.
And it's gonna be Barbie Girl.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like they started doing it. So our team, as when we were at high school, we're like, we're gonna do this. Like, let's all have our walk-on songs. So we all like planned it out.
Barbie Girl.
And that was mine.
I'm sorry. What?
It put the opposition off so much. So like, what the heck? And they were just so confused. And I'd come in here like, boom, hit some four runs, another four runs.
What? I have to assume everyone thought you were hilarious.
It was just confused everybody.
Because at the time, you were some weird nerd jock. Like, some strange minotaur creature.
Well, no, the opposition didn't know who I was. Anyway, we're getting... We've got to focus.
We've not. We are focusing. We're talking about Barbie Girl.
We're talking about General Radahn. Like, we're not getting into spoilers, but he's a cool fight, a cool boss, and it was so overwhelming, the fight, but it was just chaotic. And I watched a video of someone yesterday beating him, starting level, naked, with a club.
What, like a big wood club, or like...
Yeah, like a club, like a wooden club.
Two-handed, like the one I had in Dark Souls 1, or like tiny... Like
the normal size club, not the great club, the club. Well, and I don't know, I haven't looked into any of the stats and stuff, but the club in Dark Souls 1 is actually one of the best weapons in the game.
And so the one I was using, I am a pretty good...
No, the normal club.
What?
Yeah.
Not the giant one.
You're using... Oh, it doesn't matter.
I was using a great club.
Yeah. The normal club is actually one of the best weapons, especially for a no-leveling build. It does the most damage for the stats required. So it may be the same in Elden Ring. I don't know. But that's what he did it. But it's not only did it like that, without being hit.
Well, if he got hit, he'd be dead.
Well, yeah, probably.
He's got no levels. So it's kind of like a must.
That was loud. Sorry about that, folks.
Sorry.
We won't say much more about the fight or the game. It is great. We've talked for an hour or so about Elden Ring. We want to finish up by talking about a board game.
Yeah.
We got this a while ago. I think we mentioned it. And I don't know if we've talked about it in depth because we've only played it properly recently. It's called Mice and Mystics.
I was a mystic and then I switched to something else.
Well, tell us about the game. What kind of game is it?
It is a D&D type game, except it's more story-based, like storyline. With D&D, yes. You can be like, I want to go fishing.
Well, yeah, it's...
And then your DM would slap you in the face. But then, yeah, this one, it's set stories. You're little mice, or you weren't, but you got turned into mice.
Yep.
And then... You're on an adventure to try save the king.
Well, your kingdom, I guess, from an
evil
witch.
Well, yeah, your kingdom from an evil witch.
It's a very fairy tale kind of storyline. King, queen from the unknown land comes on in and woos the king. and becomes queen, and then all of a sudden the king's now sick.
Oh no, the king magically became sick. Whatever shall we do? I wonder who could have done this.
And yes, yeah, so you get turned into mice, and so it's a dungeon crawling cooperative game.
Yeah.
It's, as Odin said, it's D&D, but extremely light.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real stats. You've got a few
points. I don't think, there's not even a DM. Like, there's no game master. It's kind of just...
Not really. The chapter synopsis works as that. It tells you what things are unique to that room you're in.
Yeah.
It's made me really regret not picking up Hero Quest, the remake. It's still available to be purchased, but it's also too expensive for me now. But maybe one day, because I love the dungeon crawling games. This one is a campaign. We're playing it with Odin's friend and his dad, who's my friend, Mike and Mike.
Yeah, Mike and Mike.
And you choose a character and you run through it. It's got boards where you and you fight, and it has AI systems for the enemies. It has the we call it the turn-based subsystem, which D&D has, initiative track. But instead of rolling, you shuffle cards, and then it puts out the order of the enemies. It's pretty brutal. Like, it's not... You only need to make a couple of silly mistakes. I am liking it, but it also does feel like there's not much flavor to it, especially since each chapter you hand back in all your collected items.
So we house rules it and we can keep one item. Which, I've got to admit, that doesn't make any sense, because if you're actually playing it, why would you just dump all your armor? Like, you're like, okay, we finished what we're doing. Get lost, armor. You think you'd keep it like a normal person?
There are some... You can level up and you can keep those abilities, I believe, is how the rules set.
Yeah.
But you don't get any more strong.
No.
Is that right? You don't ever get any more hit points, never get any more strength. It's all about the gear. And so the deck's so big, and like we played the second chapter the other day. We've played two chapters, there's 10 to 12
chapters. Second chapter was a bit smaller.
Well, it was very rushed and we scraped through by the hair of our chinny chin chins. But
we also
to
had
get
to cheat
better
because...
gear to get better gear to use in that level, we'd have had to spend a lot of time searching, and we did search one or two, three times, and
we searched a bit more, but then we failed a lot.
We tried to search
three more times.
I'd say in total we probably searched four times, and I think we failed three.
Yeah, like once
but
or twice.
The fact is to try and get better gear, and if you're only able to search three or four times per chapter, and the deck's big, like it means like. I guess if you kept all the gear, the deck would be getting smaller by the end. There'd just be no point searching. But that would make sense anyway. Like, if you had leveled up... You don't need the gear, so you wouldn't search. So I'm not so sure about that. I know they've made an expansion. I wonder if they've improved on some of the rules and the kind of work they've done on it with the expansion. But I am enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to getting into it more and seeing how things progress.
I reckon after we do Mice and Mystics with Mike and Mike... we should try D&D or something. Although we have to find someone to do, game master or something.
I could do it. we could work together and take turns. Anyway, yeah. But I think we've got a few other dungeon crawling games to build us up to that point.
We've got like Tiny Epic Dungeons coming.
Yes, and we've also got Untold Legends.
Well,
I think that could be a good one because it's
a good one.
But anyway,
never really got into
it. Mice and Mystics is great. Obviously, it's designed for a campaign, so if you're gonna look into it, you kind of want people who can play. You got people you can play with regularly, so you don't forget the rules. And so,
we forgot the rules. We hadn't played in months.
I think we left it just on hitting the 2 month mark. Whereas going forward, we want to do it monthly at least. But yeah, that's Mice and Mystics. I'm glad we got it. The figures are cool. I wish I could paint them, but I don't know how to.
I believe you can learn.
I believe you should learn.
No. No.
Yes, because you need to be more dedicated at doing things.
I am dedicated to doing things, like Elden Ring.
Only playing video games. We've got to get you dedicated on editing stuff and creating things. But that's it for today, folks. I've talked a lot. Odin's made fun of me a lot. And that's
how old you are.
That's another episode, Odin. you can send us off.
This has been the Undying Chat. We have talked about Elden Ring with a side of Elden Ring, and a little bit of other stuff, and also how old my dad is.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.